there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Shouldn't you be at work?
It's a lovely chip! Oh, it's a brilliant goal from Lord Bohinen!
Still it's not away. Southgate shot. Milosevic scores.
DPR could do with a bit of magic from him. Maybe this is it. It is! Andy Sinton from nothing.
Brian Roy has headed Forest into the lead.
Whelan. Oh, what a goal from Noel Whelan.
No power on it whatsoever, but Taibbi has made a horrendous error.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, and it hasn't.
No.
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? I'm Chris Goh and I hope you're enjoying that period between Christmas and New Year where you don't even know what day it is. We're just wrapping up the end of series here on Quickly Kevin. We've still got so much to look forward to. The quiz episode has been locked and loaded and it will be on the main feed very, very soon. And then in terms of subscriber episodes, Terry Venable special coming up. We had an episode lined up with Dean Saunders. Sickness cancelled it, but that is coming very soon. And a whole host of other subscriber episodes coming your way very soon. 2024 will be an exciting year for Quickly Kevin. Let's not forget our first live show in years and our only live show of 2024 will be at the London Palladium. Tickets are on sale now. Just Google Quickly Kevin, London Palladium. Now, we're about to record a few more subscriber episodes and I wanted to give you something to think about. This email from Simon Wilding. He says, "Hello boys, thoroughly enjoyed the recent episode with Mark Hatley. What a career. At the beginning of the episode with Hatley, you discussed a fairly obscure sponsorship deal with Middlesbrough in the 90s and asked if there was more naff example of a sponsor in the 90s. He can answer that with three words, Coucher and Shaw. He says West Brom's nadir coincided with his introduction to football in the mid-90s, had an awful side and an awful sponsor to match. Coucher and Shaw were a West Brom high street solicitors, but midway through the 1994 season, this is unbelievable, were struck off by the Law Society of England and Wales. So they had to go sponsorless for the remainder of the season, which, although that was more aesthetically pleasing, was a little bit embarrassing to say the least. Boing, boing. Thank you, Simon, for that email. We will be discussing this very soon. If you have got a terrible sponsor from the 90s, worse than Coucher and Shaw, you know what to do. Send it to hello@quicklykevin.com. Now, given that we're in that period between Christmas and New Year, before the quiz episode comes out, we thought we would keep your minds occupied with this. It's a little bit of an episode never heard before on the main feed, a subscriber episode from Christmas 2021. It's a festive special. Please enjoy this from the Quickly Kevin locker. If you want to get this episode in full, this is just a little 20-minute section you're going to get here, plus all the other bonus episodes that have been done down the years, extended versions of episodes as well, including all the Bruce books. You know what to do if you want even more Quickly Kevin. You can sign up at anotherslice.com/Quickly Kevin or sign up on your Apple Podcast app. But without further ado, let's cast our minds back to 2021. Here's a little festive special from back then.
Yes, Merry Christmas, one and all.
Oh, here we are.
I don't think we've ever done this before, but we thought it'd be nice to... We'll be covering some Christmas-related Quickly Kevin areas. Chris has looked into classic Christmas parties.
Yes, gone wrong.
Oh no.
There's no. I've got no examples of Christmas parties just going well and everyone having a nice time.
Oh dear. Oh,
it just didn't happen in the 90s.
Is there lots of fun to be had with the Liverpool Fancy Dress Party, which I was obsessed with when I was a kid?
There is a bit of fun. I don't know if it, I think it's this one. Actually, I don't think it is.
Okay, fine.
Can it be fun that doesn't get us accidentally cancelled, please?
Let's find out.
I'm going to say Chris Skull is not the kind of person I trust to, yeah, to pitch correctly what is a fun and not fun Christmas party story.
It's all pretty harmless, I'd say.
So that's something to look forward to. We'll be talking about football Christmas presents that we've had, and we will also be talking about the thrill of football around Christmas when we were growing up. But we should start by saying, are you a fan of... How much of a fan of Christmas are you, stroke, were you in the 90s?
I loved it. The merch catalogue, fantastic. But we had a great...
The merch catalogue?
You don't remember the Christmas merch? Even now, I get excited.
So what's the merch? Is that a West Ham thing?
Yeah, but you don't have this at your club.
So what, when it went... No, we didn't have a merch catalogue.
Not even now. Like, even now, I get excited. Like, they'll do the Christmas merch catalogue.
I'd say, if you'd said the Christmas Radio Times double issue, everyone would go, yes, that is what everyone gets excited about. No one gets excited about their club's merch catalogue, do they?
Yes, because you see your first team players in stuff like a onesie, or, like, lying on a West Ham bedspread, or, like, tinkering with the West Ham curtains. You see them modelling all the...
Does that still happen?
Yes! What? This can't be a West Ham thing.
Michael?
This is not a West Ham thing, sure.
Well, I remember a similar thing from, like, Match and Shoot magazine, where you'd get those sort of, like, full-page advertising spreads that would normally be for, you know, kits or tracksuits or whatever, and then around Christmas time they would be Christmas-themed. But I certainly didn't get a Manchester United dedicated kind of, like, Littlewoods catalogue of Man United of Christmas stuff. I wish I did, but... Maybe you were more of a fan in the 90s than us.
Well, considering we're doing this on Zoom, I can see that Skull... Because I know when Skull's on the internet, because he goes to his second screen. And he's desperately Googling these merch catalogues. And I wouldn't say he's got confidence in his eyes.
No, well, you can... There's a few pictures of, like an Aston Villa-clad bedroom.
So when would you get the Christmas merch catalogue, and would you then ask for the stuff?
Yes, of course. How in the 90s, how did you know what was in the club shop without going there?
The answer to Plymouth Argyle is not much. Like, we discussed it before that the lowest of the low in the club shop was the individual photographs of the players on a postcard.
So
we'd have that, we'd have the kit, we'd have hats, scarves, pen. It, like, very much... I might be proven wrong here. I don't think it was possible in the early 90s to get a Plymouth Argyle bedspread. I don't think the demand was there.
Can you get one? Surely now.
I think you probably could now, yeah. I think they've... And I wouldn't like to have a go at the club generally, because I think they're brilliantly run. But I think they bandy around the word superstore at the moment. I don't know whether I... I think Man U are the first people to break the word superstore in the British game. But now I think it's overused. Considering until recently it was in a porter cabin.
Yeah, yours is very much like a sort of Plymouth Metro.
Yeah.
They've got a few items and the price has been jacked up on all of them. But it's convenient. It's on the way home.
Just tell me, what would it look like the first time you went in the Plymouth Argyle superstore in the early 90s? What's the setup?
So it's a porter cabin.
Yeah, outside the ground.
Or possibly... Now, I can't picture where it would have been. Possibly not even outside the ground, but instead within... You know the dead area between the turnstiles and the stands?
Right.
So there's a kind of... At Argyle, there was a dead area. You don't get this at every ground, but, like, you go through the turnstiles, but you're not in the stand yet, because the turnstiles are an outer wall. Like the kind of... Like that kind of bit between the two fences at Glastonbury.
Right.
So the porter cabin might have even been there. You'd go in.
Hang on, but isn't this madness? Because that means you need a ticket, essentially, to get to the store.
Yes, but I suppose there was... Home Park, the ground, is within Home Park, the park.
Right.
And so maybe they didn't own any of the area outside of their perimeter. I don't know what the rule is on that. I don't know. It certainly was outside of it afterwards. But anyway, you go in, as with every part of Plymouth Argyle, it seems to have, in the 90s, it was exclusively run by men on the tickets, women on the club shop, and the refreshments. That's how it worked at Plymouth Argyle in the 90s. All of which were very familiar, like it was like a local shop, almost. And not that they'd know you, but that was the kind of atmosphere. And then there'd be shirts. There'd invariably be heavily discounted old shirts, which is still a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And then there'd be not much more than that. I don't even know whether you could just buy a shirt like that. I certainly don't know. Yeah. What about you? What was the West Ham shop like in the 90s?
Well, ours was a similar setup. It was quite shambolic. We had a porter cabin outside the front of the old West Stand. And like, I was just thinking about trying to picture like what it was like to walk in there. Like, all of my memories of early 90s West Ham, everything stinks of cigarette smoke and cigars.
Yeah, of course.
Like even the club shop. In those memories, I can smell it. It smelled of that and plastic from all like the plastic the bags that all the shirts are in. But I'm fascinated to know what the Man United megastore. I regret not having been there when we last went to Old Trafford. Well, we stuck our heads in.
We saw the megastore in that video we saw of Steve Bruce shopping in the megastore, didn't we? I imagine the Manchester United megastore in the 90s wasn't dissimilar to what the Plymouth Argyle one is now. Do you know what I mean? It's such a different time.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear Michael describe it because I'm imagining the bleeding edge of retail.
Let's see.
Yeah, I didn't go till... I only went once to Old Trafford until I was about 17, just because I just couldn't afford to go. But and it wasn't during a match day, it was part of a tour. And I would say the jewel in the crown of that tour was the trip to the Manchester United megastore.
Yeah.
Like that was the highlight.
As with any guided tour, the shop is the best bit.
Yeah, and it had... I remember vividly we were sponsored by Umbro at the time, so there was like two big sort of Umbro signs, and there was a huge George Best and someone else, I can't remember, but a sort of another iconic Manchester United player from the past. And in my mind, it was like the Toys R Us of Manchester United.
Yeah.
It was like floor to ceiling, you know, shirts, every single piece of memorabilia you want. The biggest thing, because I got it done, was that was when shirt printing had very recently come in with names on the back. And I had number 2 and Mard on the back of my red Manchester United home shirt.
Couldn't afford Marden.
Well, people just called me Mard. So it's like that was what my sort of nickname, like no one called me Michael or Marden. So it sort of made sense. But I had that done. And when I came back to my like youth football team, the manager and assistant manager laughed at me so much that they didn't pick me for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And I swear it was because they thought like my ego was too big. I'd got too big for my boots because I had my name printed on the back of my shirt.
It's got too big. Like the governor.
Yeah. We said we were going to talk about it later, but did you have many football-themed Christmas presents when you were a kid?
No, not a lot, no. But I think that's because, for me, I'm the only person in my family that likes football.
Mm.
So, like, there is no sort of influence. I'm the eldest of my siblings. My dad isn't into football. So I sort of stumbled across it by accident. So I don't have anyone in my family that would have got me presents. The only ones I did get were, for my birthday, was from my mum's side of the family. But they were all diehard Liverpool fans. And they would send me Liverpool shirts in the post every year in the hope to sort of convert me to being a Liverpool fan. And then one year, I think it was my 10th birthday, I went up to Liverpool wearing the new Manchester United kit.
Oh, my word.
And they never spoke to me again. Like that side of the family. And it was my one uncle, and he had bought me tickets to watch Anfield, Liverpool QPR at Anfield for my 10th birthday. So it would have been March 1990, I think, maybe my 11th birthday, March 1991. And Liverpool lost 3-1. And I went back behind the scenes because he knew Kenny Dalglish, and I met a lot of the Liverpool players. But he was so ashamed because I had turned up to his home wearing a Manchester United kit that for the next 35 years until he passed away, he never spoke to me again.
Oh my word!
Never spoke to me again, yeah. So my only sort of in with any kind of football-based birthday or Christmas presents was just severed, and I was there like a lone wolf.
Oh God.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What about you, Chris?
Football video games. Like, Christmas is dominating.
That was it. It was the video.
Video games.
For
FIFA
me, because I always had the view with Christmas, and I still kind of do now, which is pathetic. Obviously now, as with any kind of adult with disposable income in their 30s or 40s, I'm quite difficult to buy for. The death of the CD really has made me much more difficult to buy for.
It
really is. It's hit present buyers hard, hasn't it? As a kid, liked to get computer games because I liked something I could do on Christmas Day. Do you know what I mean? So I was never into, like, some kids would get like clothes or something, but it was, I liked an active thing that you, your new toy. Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more. This is the most resonant thing you've ever said to me. Like, Christmas Day morning, you want to play a video game.
Yeah,
you want,
exactly.
Like, even now, there is a vacuum in my life on Christmas Day morning where I'm like, where's the thing?
Do you know what? I totally agree.
What am I meant to be doing until dinner?
I've thought, like, do I want a PlayStation 5? Just for Christmas Day. Do you know...
Well, you know, it was actually like a New Year's resolution I had a couple of years ago. It was like, I want to get into video games this year. It might have even been the year the pandemic hit.
What a waste of a resolution. I want to waste more time in my life.
I was like, I enjoy playing video games. But do you know what? I love football video games. I can't get my head around this now. I get battered by everyone I play. And I'm no good at it. I can't get in. And it's like, just give me sensible soccer. Just give me that little guy. Why do I need to see like 5 million pixels on the screen?
So my Christmas presents throughout the 90s were defined by the different generations of football video games. So the first computer I had, right? So me and my dad went into Dixon's in Newton Abbot, right?
Isn't Dixon's exciting? Even Dixon's exciting.
So and I can still feel this going into that Dixon's and it being... dark outside because it would have been 4 p.m. on a November afternoon. Do you know what I mean? And they had on a screen, you know how like they'd have like computer games playing? They had a football computer game playing, and this would have been 1990, 1991, something like that. And until that point, I didn't realise that football could be a computer game. Like, I was into but I had no idea that football was a computer game. And I was like, I was just like, that's what I want for Christmas. I just definitely, that's what I want. And so kind of secured that as my Christmas present. But that was international soccer on the Commodore 64, right? And I talk about this in my book, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, but I looked into it. That game is from 1982. So that game was like 8 years old or 9 years old when I bought it. Yeah, wow. It was being demonstrated in Dixon's. That was the year of SNES versus Mega Drive. But I didn't know any of this was going on. Neither did my dad. So I ended up with the Commodore 64 that had international soccer, Flimbo's Quest, which was a platform game, and a game called Feedin' Freddy's Big Top of Fun, where you do circus tricks.
So what year was this? 1991, maybe.
So it would have been
Master System NES, not SNES Mega Drive.
That was
a tiny bit later.
Yeah.
But the fact that, so is that because Newton Abbott are just slow?
It's a bit
like the Isle of Wight, where things would be 5 years behind.
Dixon's is still Dixon's, right?
Yeah,
surely.
Maybe they're still shifting units in certain parts of the country, so they don't need to send them the new stock.
You're going to Dixon's in London at that time, they don't have HD screens, you're just so bad. You're just behind.
But it just literally walking in and seeing that football computer game changed my computer gaming experience for the rest of my youth.
But
because then I got into the Commodore 64, so I had that... I got that for Christmas. I loved it. You only have five players on each team. You can still see it. Have you Googled
yeah,
it,
just,
Scott?
I've just
seen you looking
up
to the left.
But here's the mad thing. I bought this, but the game wouldn't load. Did you used to have this on Commodore 64 where you'd buy games and they just wouldn't work?
Yeah.
This is Commodore 64. You'd have to put the tape in. This is what I had to do. Put the tape in. It would play. You'd play this tape of just like weird noise, like... Sounds like a
yeah, of course, yeah, yeah,
yeah. A modem dialing up. You play this, you put it in for like an hour, and then you'll find out if the game's loaded or not. And it's just one of those games I owned, but I never got to play it. It wouldn't load.
Yeah, it was like chicken, wasn't it? Knowing whether a game would
yeah,
like
exactly.
Please, you chucky egg. But like, are you aware of this game, Michael?
No. This was I was later to the computer games revolution, so I was very much a console guy, and then went back and played some. Amiga basically was my entry into computer games. Had a Spectrum that I inherited from someone, I don't remember where, but never really got it up and running. So the sort of the world of Commodore and ZX Spectrum very much passed me by.
So I loved my Commodore, and there was great games on it, and there was Dizzy, and there was Rocket Ball, which was brilliant. Maybe if I'd seen a Master System then, I'd have ended up then getting a SNES, but this led to me getting an Amiga because it was like the next Commodore up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I vividly remember one Christmas I got sent to a World of Soccer, and that was one of those things where like, this is the problem with being an adult, isn't it? Well, not the problem. One of the many problems with being an adult is if something came out in November now that I wanted, I'd probably buy it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's my abiding memory of buying any kind of computer games in the 90s was, A, that idea that you had to earn it, whether you had, you know, pocket money or a Saturday job, or, you know, you had to wait for your parents, your birthday or something. But the event and the sort of spectacle and the fanfare around, like, going to get that game. I remember a friend of mine, my best friend growing up, like when European Club Soccer came out on the Sega Mega Drive, yeah, which was a fantastic football game, driving on a Saturday morning with his mum to Newport, the main town on the Isle of Wight, because it was the only place where you could buy that game, and then driving back and the giddy excitement of like ripping open the cellophane and basically like fighting over reading the instruction manual and being like, oh my god, you can do a chipped pass, like if you press this button, and then getting there. And what would happen sometimes is, like, say with Sensible World of Soccer or like the Championship Manager games, it would just be life-changing. It would be transcendent. But yeah, there would be times when you waited so long and you were so excited about a game to come out, in the same way that you might have saved up for a new album, and that was the only album you could afford that month, and the game was shit, or the album was shit, and you were sort of partly denying or convincing yourself that this hadn't been a colossal waste of time and,
yeah,
a real disappointment. I remember once getting an American football game that I chose over something else in a sort of mad last-minute whim. And it was so rubbish that my mum found me crying in my room because I was so disappointed with my choice.
Oh, my God.
And she felt so sorry for me. She took me back to the shop and I was still, like, bleary-eyed.
Was
it John
Madden?
It wasn't Madden, because the Madden games were great, but it was some other American football game, like perhaps like Joe Montana or something like that, which was like a kind of a shit licensed spin-off. And the guy felt so sorry for me that he let me exchange it for Golden Axe.
Oh, well, that's a great game. I loved Golden Axe.
That was a hell of a game.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And this has just triggered a memory I just want to share. I can't believe this hasn't come up. You know, I was into wrestling as a kid. Like, I had a real pretty woman moment with my auntie. Where I was in, like, she was like, come on, I'll take you out.
I'm not
I'll
sure
take you out to
go.
But no,
I don't want to know about this.
Wait, I'll specify the moment in Pretty Woman I'm referring to.
How much did she cost?
When we said Chris was going to get cancelled in this episode, we didn't think of it in this manner.
I did grow up that well off, but my auntie, my mum's sister, was like, worked at some big insurance company, it was a big city high flyer, and she was like, come on, I'll take you out for the day and we'll get you, like, I was into wrestling action figures, and she took me to this toy shop, and she was like pick an action figure you want, and I picked like Hulk Hogan or something like that, took her up there. And then she bumped into someone she knew. And then this kid, the kid of the woman she bumped into, so it was, we were just stood by the wrestling figures. And she went, and he was going, have you got that one? And I was like, no. And he was like, have you got that one? No. And he was like, oh, God, you don't have any of them. Anyway, he left. And my aunt, I was looking a bit depressed. And my auntie said to me, What's the matter? He was like, oh, that kid, he just pointed out that he had all these action figures and I don't have any. And she was like, right. And got every single action figure of the thing. It was like, right, you're having every single one of them then. And I remember going, what? I was like, this is amazing. And then I got home and my parents were furious. They were absolutely, it was like the first time I'd seen like my parents and an auntie have a row. So they're like, you can't do that. You can't just buy him every action figure in the shop because he's like, just like, that's the bit like, down, now, 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 now. Right.
Amazing.
You're not going to believe, whilst we're talking, an email's just come into my inbox. Yeah. That is, honestly, it's the Manchester United FC Christmas catalogue selection of items. It's just come into my inbox. And obviously, normally, I just wouldn't even open this. It would go to spam. There's mittens, crackers, onesies, mugs, Christmas gnomes, bags, like everything.
See?
Amazing.
It goes on. I remember a few years ago, we had Ravel Morrison was on the front cover in a onesie. And you're just like, I'm upset. And I love it because I'm in the club a little bit. I'm like, who are you getting to do the stuff this year? I'm fascinated even now. Like,
yeah, because in the old days, right, I imagine you just go up to Brian McLaren and go, have you got an hour? Can you just do these? But now, the thought of the amount of levels of management you'd have to go through and contract to get Declan Rice to pose with a pencil case is, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not doable anymore, well, surely.
No, it's in their contracts, mate. They're after training, they've got to have an hour, and the merch people, they've got to pack it in. They've got to get in the tracksuit, wear the polo top.
Do you reckon if you're a player and you've got an hour there, you're, like, time-wasting so that there's less photos that come out of it?
Thomas Suchet just struggling to get into a onesie for 45 minutes. But also, like, surely if that is in there contractually, do you think there's kind of, like, the big, like, Mina Raiola and George Mendes agents are like, yeah, get rid of the merch clause. Like, get rid of that. They're just scouring through the contracts and going, there is no way you're getting a, like, school photo of my client holding a mug looking like an idiot.
There's definitely, I've got theories on this, because there's definitely, I do some of this stuff, and I like, there's definitely more players you see more often than others. And you're like, well, surely it's a blanket across. They're not picking on one guy with a weak agent going, get him to do all the stuff. But it does feel that way.
Well, I wonder whether how would they have done studies on this? But they must have ideas of who's going to shift more units. Do you know what I mean? You're dreaming of, if you're Man U, you want Ronaldo, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
If you're...
There are also certain players like Juan Mata, for example, at Manchester United. There's a running joke that the reason he keeps getting his contract renewed is because he's so good and so eager at doing all of these extra sort of like corporate and sponsorship things. And he's such a charming, kind of like good-looking, friendly guy. They're like, yeah, we'll just keep him around because like he'll go and press palms. He'll go and have those photos taken in the gift shop and all of that. So perhaps there either are players that are good at it and don't mind doing it. Or also, if I was part of that squad, it would 100%, a bit like when I was a kid with my sisters, it would be a forfeit where, like, if you don't do this, you've got to do the dishes. I would make it part of, like, training or part of, like, the squad thing where you go, all right, loser has to do everyone's photo shoot for the West Ham teddy bear next week and make it a part of the camaraderie.
Brilliant. There you go. If you want that full episode, don't forget you can join the Quickly Kevin fan club and you can sign up at anotherslice.com/QuicklyKevin and also on the Apple Podcast app. And there'll be plenty more specials where that came from coming over the next few weeks until our next big series in 2024. And don't forget, there's one live date in the calendar for Quickly Kevin. It will be the only live date in 2024, I'm sure. It's at the London Palladium, our biggest ever live show. Expect big guests, expect a screen, so we can bring you the podcast using the visual medium. You can have a look for tickets. Just Google Quickly Kevin London Palladium. We'll have another bonus episode, I suspect, before the year is out. So for now, thank you for listening. And Robbie Slater, see you later.